SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Monday. Race fans, Sirius 219 XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, steepick.com. A bright, sunny, but very cold morning here in upstate New York, but at least we didn't get blanketed where the Mid-Atlantic did, to the extent that Laurel had to cancel. And lots of people digging out, including... including Trevor McCarthy. And that's good news that Trevor McCarthy felt well enough yesterday morning. I talked to his agent, Scott Silver, this morning. Wanted to make sure that he is okay after Friday's really scary spill. Oof, at Laurel. Very bad. And luckily, very luckily, everybody on the human side managed to escape, and that included McCarthy and Horacio Caramanos and Yomar Torres. Everybody okay. In fact, Caramanos came back and rode Saturday, but for those that are still looking for some update, and I know that the Mid-Atlantic reportage, I think, you know, pretty much gave everything the all clear, but I did want to ask Silver if you know what update he had. So knock on wood, okay. And in fact, Silver said that they were just really surprised that the horse that went wrong really had no issues, that they really were surprised. So this was a bad one. They're all bad anytime a rider hits the ground. Meanwhile, they expect McCarthy expects to come back this weekend. Meanwhile, the racing and the news front really hits a bunch of ebbs and flows. And I want to mention really first the piece of news that came out Friday after we got off the air. And mid-afternoon Friday, word circulated that Harvey Clark, who was as terrific an owner and breeder and contributor to the sport on all levels, I mean, an absolute perfect example of what a participant at all levels is supposed to be in this game when it comes to the ownership and breeding. Harvey Clark, just 77, and had been ill with lung cancer. And he died Thursday with the family. The funeral is this morning at 11 o'clock. There will be... You know, I'm sure countless people from the industry, and I know quite a few making their way there. And there's any number of people that would come forward quite happily to pay respects and honor Harvey Clark's memory. We'll talk actually to Steve Shahinian, who partnered with Harvey for 30 years, and he's on his way to Paramus, where the services are, and you know, Fred Seitz and the whole Seitz family, everybody at Brookdale, certainly. And I hope I can catch up with Fred, because you'll recall, you know, for those of you that are horse players, you've seen Harvey's name for many, many years, and a lot of times partnered with Paul Braverman. That's I think probably the name you see most. So, you know, Kieran McLaughlin, obviously another candidate to come on and talk about Harvey Clark as an owner. But Fred Seitz, who we talked about when Fred stepped forward, stepped from behind the the anonymous breeding and preparation side and put his name in the program when he was training for that period. And the horse that he and Harvey campaigned, May Knight, became a personal favorite here. And we would talk to Fred whenever May Knight did something good, which was regularly. And then she went on and she's had, most notably, Red Rifle. Red Rifle, who, by virtue of being a son of May Knight, became a personal favorite. In fact, mentioning May Knight and Red Rifle makes me want to mention that Todd Pletcher will be on in the third hour, and even even though Todd, I don't think, had a horse at any time for Harvey Clark, he certainly had horses that Harvey Clark produced, including Red Rifle and Stop Charging Maria, another one that was bred by Harvey Clark, and Havana too. Havana was bred by Harvey Clark. So Todd actually really had a lot of success with horses bred by Harvey Clark. And of course, I'll have another. Most notably, I suppose, if you're going to go through horses that a breeder produced, that would be where you started, with a dual classic winner who was sold very modestly and who was a bit of a backwards yearling, and then became a better 2 year old, and that's when Dennis O'Neill found him as a 2 year old. Most recently campaigned Cairo Prince with Harvey's name on it, and Paul Braverman, and I think Nam Cook stable on, I think, as well, Cairo Prince. And Harvey Clark, what he did for aftercare too. I mean, he's a generous contributor. Whenever his horses were running, the efforts at New Vocations and the percentage of winnings, Harvey Clark was always one of the big contributors. And there's a wonderful story in one of the obituaries that gives you a real feel for, and I suppose Steve Shahinian will relay it because he was quoted, the story of Yankee Fortune, that Harvey Clark campaigned, and when the horse fell ill and he stepped forward, even though the horse was in other people's hands, he had communicated that if there was anything the horse ever needed, if there was anything he could do to help, let him know. And sure enough, a colic surgery that he just stepped forward and paid for, and that's the kind of person that Harvey Clark was. I didn't see the term used, but it certainly will be used at the funeral, a mensch, as we say in Yiddish, of great proportion. A tremendous career in real estate in Manhattan, and a real loss. This is a real loss, and our deep sympathies to his wife Donna and the children, and it'll be very sad today. And he'd been sick a while. I'm sure we'll talk to a couple of people here that, and I don't want Fred Seitz. I really want to get Fred in as well. But Steve Shahinian will join us in this first hour after we talk to Shug McGahey. Shug is going to be on after the bottom, and Shug sent out Dr. Mounty, and was very pleased with that 5-1 pop coming in the tropical turf. And you know, heart-to-heart, everybody loves, and heart-to-heart ran very well after a bit of a sluggish start. He wasn't where he normally is, but he, even in a stalking role, and being restrained, sort of on the backstretch by Leperu, he ran fine, and he'll be tighter for next time. I think the Canadian, I think I saw Brian Lynch said will be next. But Dr. Mounty, a horse that we really started to take a shine to last year, and Sugar's done a tremendous job with him, and he gets better and better and better very slowly and steadily. And you know, he's a mature horse now. And in fact, both winners on Saturday at Gulfstream notably feel like they're going to have big years. But Dr. Mounty will talk to Suge. We'll get a update on Code of Honor. You may have seen some things that Suge said to Mike Welch as part of the coverage of Dr. Mounty. Mike slipped in some updates on Code of Honor, and Suge kind of hinted that he wasn't totally, he was disappointed with Code of Honor last week, but not devastated. So we'll get an update on where things stand and how Suge's going to approach things and tighten up on Code of Honor for a Fountain of Youth try. So it's always a good Monday when we get to talk to Claude Ray. Claude Ray the Third. Got a few other things, too. I know that I was asked at the beginning of the year, I was asked about the next time Suge might be on to talk about a landmark year for Suge on the Eclipse front, when he had a remarkable, what was it, 3 champions? So I will slip that in, seeing as how it's inching closer toward awards season, which will be, let's see, today's the 14th, right? Yeah, so what are we looking at? Next week, the 24th. Yeah, week from Thursday. It's a blur. We're 2 weeks into the year, and it's already whizzing by. And, of course, after Thursday with the Eclipse, you then Saturday you got Pegasus, which doesn't look like it's going to include McKinsey. If you didn't see some of the comments from Baffert, Baffert said he'd like to go, but yeah, you could tell. I think sitting at home and watching Accelerate and City of Light prepare, I think that's been a little sobering. Yeah, and he also said, you know, to break even, you got to be what, third or better, and so he I thought was very reasonable, and he's talking about some interesting goals and potential objectives, including the Met Mile for McKinsey, and that would be a important potential addition to McKinsey's resume if he could go to Belmont and win a Met Mile. So no McKinsey. Don't count on McKinsey as being that 12th horse, but there does remain a slot available for a 12th participant on the main track, Pegasus. The turf. About every 3 days, another horse is produced. I think they're up to 8 now, with a potential for a 9th, give or take. So that looks like that very slowly is going to fill in. And we'll catch up with some of the specifics, some of the works toward Pegasus. We're going to talk to, I told you, Todd, late in the show, and got a bunch to do with him, obviously, with Audible, and the horse that I mentioned from Saturday that feels like she's going to have a big year. Bella Vase for Bortolozzo. And that was a pretty impressive effort in the Marshawas River and a very slick ride by Castellano, who was pocketed and covered and all kinds of things, and then made a daring rail run to get her up, the daughter of Tappet. Let's take a break here. We'll set, tell you everything else going on right after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get five full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for five of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
I can't stop shaking. The room has a groove and the floor is almost earthquaking. Look what we're making. History out on the floor and it's just awaking. So get that needle in the core. Scratch that.
Emerald, she's awesome. Also awesome, how about what's gotten into John Sheriffs? Got to reach out to John. And I've been sort of delaying it, but now it's getting tough because the winds are piling up now. Spring Lily yesterday upsets the Kalukan Queen. And he had that maiden winner. Was that on Friday? He had that Candy Cornell, the Candy Ride colt, the older horse, but happened to be watching that. And, yeah, Sheriff's killing it. There was what else here? I've got it was 2 weeks ago we had the stake. You had the stake win opening week at Santa Anita. I got to ask him about that. That was that Giza goddess in the Blue Norther. Cairo Prince. There's the connection, obviously. So yeah, we got to get to John. And speaking of John, we got John White. Johnny D still not ready to join us, and Johnny continues to kind of recoup from a bit of a little health scare, but on the mend. And so we'll look forward to Johnny next week to kick off. I mean, I guess we've got to keep Johnny on the physically unable to perform list for another week. And speaking of which, that also includes the Beat the Host hosts, who are now 1-16. It was not a great week, but there was a winner, Bella Vase, as it happens, for Millie Ball. And Millie sheepishly acknowledged the rough go of it. But you know what? The players aren't complaining. We'll go over the results with John White at the top of hour two. John is going to join us. And John actually happens to be the host this Saturday coming up. So the timing is good. So John White pushed forward to substitute for Johnny D. So for those of you that were looking forward to Johnny and I recapping last night's disappointing finish, great start and then disappointing finish for the Birds. But I thought it's funny when the Saints missed that field goal attempt to make it a two-score game, I thought, oh, all right, they're going to go down the field and they're going to score here and they're going to pull this out despite, you know, being kind of on their own heels after they put the Saints on their heels. They had a chance to really completely throttle that game away early, and a couple of different things happened that kept the Saints alive. And then the Saints, you know, listen, you don't have the best record in the conference by accident, and it's a tough place to play. But that was tough because especially Jeffrey's become a real favorite. You know, Tina had a really special couple of minute visit with Jeffrey last year when we went down to King of Prussia for that autograph session, and she got a great picture of him, and you know, so that's her favorite, and it was tough to see him have to shoulder the brunt yesterday, because of course if he catches that ball, I mean they're really sitting in the garden seat, in the garden spot. The catbird seat. It's all right. Listen, by all rights, they didn't look like they would even get a chance to play any postseason games. So it was fun. Nice run they put in. As fans, we appreciate it. We also appreciate the performance in the La Cañada on Saturday. Escape Clause, the Manitoba bread. How about that? And we're going to talk to Don Schnell, who came to Santa Anita and had every confidence that Escape Clause, you know, could win. And she did. And boy, what a great story it is. 5-year-old mare, and you know, had been competitive. And we'll talk about, you know, the performances over the summer at Del Mar, and then most recently, you know, just a few weeks ago, in the Bobby Frankel. But she goes back to the dirt and wins a La Cañada, and Schnell owns the Going Commando mare. Really cool. So we'll have one of those feel good type conversations in hour two with Don Schnell. I thought that was irresistible, that story, right? I told you Todd Pletcher in hour three. We'll get a feel for some of the other less heralded horses. People seem to think that Todd's not going to make his presence felt on the Triple Crown trail. I would be very cautious about about taking that posture. There's a couple of horses that might be bubbling under the surface that are going to turn up. So we'll talk to Todd in hour three, and Nick is going to join us, and we'll come back to Nick Tamaro for a follow up to Friday's initial discussion, and I kind of put a brand on that concept when I laid out the plays on Saturday. They put it on Facebook and Twitter, and boy, nothing stirs up Twitter like an intelligent conversation and and the potential for people to try to help others. That's always met with a warm welcome. We'll follow up, and a few different things happened. I mean, on the racetrack in regards just to the play, and that included, of course, the. I don't want to be too critical regarding the ride, but it was not Gold for the King and Junior Alvarado. I'm sure he'd like to get that ride back. But Nick did get live to Gold for the King in the Say Florida Sandy after Stony Bennett, who you'll recall we didn't really expect Stony Bennett to run. We kind of, Nick, the kind of the back feel was that Linda Rice would likely scratch, but she didn't. She ran, and the most improbable part of what transpired was that he wired the field, and that in the first leg in the allowance race, and Mike Luzzi, who's riding well. Luzzi's getting his wins, and Mr. Dougie Fresh was, in hot pursuit the whole time. But Stony Bennett, $20 horse, but was a C. And it's one of the things when you're doing it a day ahead and you're sort of anticipating. But what I think was the best part, of course, of the discussion and what people really responded well to was the weighing of the laying out and the weighing of combinations. And that's what we're trying to achieve. It's an exercise, it's a conceptual exercise to help people understand how to use their bankroll and leverage their best opinions, the opinions, not necessarily just on what the likeliest combination is because of winners in multi races, or even whether it's an exacta or a tri, it doesn't matter if it's a if it's horizontal or vertical, but leveraging what you like best, and as Nick laid out in his verbal explanation, and it does help if you listen to the discussion and then look at the printout, which is what I wrote it up and then I ran it by Nick Saturday morning. Ideally, Nick was looking for one of the the better prices, like a Wine Knot, to win. That was going to be, the better scenario. Wine Knot went off at 9-2, and who was the other? There was another A that there was Wine Knot, and there was, well, of course, House Limit. Oh, Dougie Fresh, who ended up at 7-2, and who ended up going off a favorite at 7-2, which was a little surprising, and he got beat a neck. So if Dougie Fresh wins and then honor up ends up running another terrific race for Michelle Nevin and the Saratoga 7 team. The honor up is on a very nice roll. Was that 3 wins and 4 starts and is inching up on the figure marks as well. Is up to a, got up to a 97 buyer with that performance. So they really have latched on to a nice horse. But the double in here paid $55.75 for a buck. So this was worth going after. We got some really good responses from it, and we'll have more time to, you know, flesh it out and let Nick pick spots that, you know, I threw that at him. And as he explained, you know, having a heavy favorite in Gold for the King wasn't really the ideal scenario. But the concept is what is important here, trying to teach and help people appreciate, you know, a more refined approach, you know, not just, you know, you'll hear people say about boxing that it's not your best way to, you know, to approach things, because there's not an equal chance for every horse, you know, for every combination. That's what laying out a series of plays and weighing them, you know, $10 for, you know, the 2A, the 2As that, you know, in this case it was 2x1 or et cetera, laying that out and helping people, you know, get an image of an approach, a next level approach. That's what we're trying to accomplish with this. So Nick will be here as well. So Shug McGahee is going to join us next after we come back from this break. Steve Shahinian to appreciate his partner of 30 years, Harvey Clark. And how apt was it yesterday? I don't know if you happened to notice this, but Bill Mott sent out Pagliacci, and I you couldn't make it up, frankly. Harvey bred Pagliacci, Pioneer of the Nile, out of the Officer Mare, Clever Feline, and Pagliacci wire to wire under Jose Ortiz to win the 9th yesterday at Gulfstream. I'm not sure how, you know, how the family's going to go from here with the, you know, with the horses, but I thought that was kind of special. And beside Steve Shahinian, John White, Don Schnell, Nick Tamro, Todd Pletcher. We'll start it after this. Claude Ray, Shug McGahee joins us next.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get 5 full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for 5 of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Porchbills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Porchbills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Porchbills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Porchbills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Back to At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
We're back at the races. Little past the bottom of the hour, and it's always a great Monday when we get a Shug McGahee visit in, and Shug joins us. We'll say Happy New Year to Shug and Allison and the barn and everybody, and congratulations on Dr. Mounty getting another graded stake win.
Yeah, it ran good. Thank you. Happy New Year to you guys. But very pleased with the way he ran the other day. He was probably his best race. Javier got him to relax and come from back, just as Forrest Boyce did when he won the Baltimore race back earlier in the fall.
You know, Shug, I've come to really like this horse, and we talk so often with you because you're patient and you're blessed with owners that are patient. And he just is getting better. He's now a six-year-old, and it feels like he's poised for another big year.
Well, let's hope so. I mean, he sure has, his race before down here wasn't that bad of a race. It was just, he was 70-1 in that race, and he was 5-1 here the other day. There was 5 grade one winners in it. He was just a bit overmatched. But I think that, if I can keep him in the right company and in the right places, he doesn't seem to have to take his racetrack with him. He's run pretty good everywhere. And, we're looking forward to what happens on down the road.
It also feels that, with some of the different things you've done with him, that he's really rounding into being a real miler, like a specialty miler.
Well, I think so, Steve. That's one of the things that I've been a little bit confused with over time is exactly how far I wanted to run. And it does look like, Miles is kind of his best thing. If he can get a pace and he can get to relax in behind that pace, then it's better. He's not too good if he has to chase. So, if we can get him to relax and, kind of linger around back there and get a little help up front, then, he's going to kick at the end.
Well, and that he did here, and Castellano, who swept both of the graded stakes on Saturday with very heady rides, and that's actually been, I think, a notable part of the the success. Not that Forrest. I mean, Forrest Boyce has been terrific with him, and I think Forrest has won. Pretty much everything the last couple of years with him, but Javier clearly got along with him well.
Got along with him well, he might try a little bit, so just the whole secret to him is just kind of light hands and get him to relax. First jump away from the gate, he kind of wanted to jump in there, and Javier got him to just to settle in, and, you know, he settled back in the back there, and I was satisfied with all that. And he said he was a little bit worried turning for home, whether he was going to be able to get there or not. But then he said when he switched on to his right lead, he just sort of took off with it. So,
exactly.
You know, it was fun place. Got two great owners, and we had a good time.
Hey, talk about them for a minute, Pratt and Alden. And I think I brought it up with you after he won the Baltimore Washington. But they're having a lot of fun with this horse.
Hope so. Larry Pratt is a controversial to me as a very, very big University of Tennessee fan. But me being a UK fan, it doesn't something. If you see the silks, they got a big B in the front of them for Volunteers. I think sometimes he cares more about those silks than he does a horse, because he's pretty proud of them. And big guy down there, and does a lot for the University of Tennessee. He's in the mortgage business outside of Washington, and it's kind of his nickname around is Doctor. That's where the doctor comes from. And his main man there is David Alden, who lives up there. And he went to the University of West Virginia, so he's a Mountie. So that's where the name came from, Dr. Mountie. And they're two great guys that just kind of enjoy having a horse. And I bought them two-year-old sales. One was a big Arts Colt that won two races in a row down here, and they got a tendon problem. And now he's some girl's riding horse right now, and I think she's crazy about him. And then we got Dr. Mountie, and, you know, like I say, they don't always get to the races because, you know, they're working guys. But I know Larry Pratt from playing golf down here is where I met him, and he just kind of that December said, you know, if you find something around, said me and my partner, be willing to do something. So we I bought those two horses from Niall Brennan, and who keeps our two-year-olds and layups and stuff in Ocala. And like I say, really, the one horse didn't pan out in the long run, but they got to have two big thrills with him. And, you know, Dr. Mountie is about, you know, he's working out pretty well.
And with that, to say the least, he was 177,000 at OBS June, and so you latched on.
I'd known about him for a little while that they liked him. You know, he's got a great pedigree. It's a Watts Humphreys pedigree.
Yep.
He finished second down there one day, and my friend Rusty Arnold texted me or called me and said, you know, we think that mare is one of our best mares on a roll. And so it's a strong family. You know, I mean, Mr. Humphrey's got great pedigrees. And, you know, obviously Street Sense is a pretty good sire. He's been, he was a decent sire, and then he went overseas, and now he's come back, and maybe even better since he came back. And, you know, Dr. Mountie's a big, good-looking horse, big, strong kind of horse. And, you know, I'm having fun with him. I hope they're having as much fun with him as I am.
Well, and, you know, you mentioned Honor Roll, and there's a couple of things to bring up with her. This is a brother of Dabster. And
yes.
So, you know, this is a mare that's getting all kinds, and it's very interesting. I get one kick out of Honor Roll, and you know, Watts Humphrey was on with us last spring. We had a wonderful conversation about his approach. And certainly Humphrey is going to keep, I would imagine, the most recent drop out of there, which is a Nyquist filly. He usually keeps his fillies and he sells his boys. So there's a full brother that's now a three-year-old called Great Sense that Ian Wilkes has and is probably down there, and we'll probably see, you know, pretty soon. And I mentioned Dabster. One thing that he did that Watts Humphrey did that I think is kind of fun, he's taken on a roll to all three of those great horses in the triumvirate of Street Sense, Curlin, and Hard Spun. She's visited all three of them.
That is interesting. I know the Curlin was behind, Philly was behind Dr. Mountie. He had kept her, Vicky had her, and I saw her at Keeneland when she was a two-year-old. I think we she was in the same race I was in somewhere at Keeneland, whenever it was, 2 years ago probably. And she was a nice big pretty filly too. I think maybe she was bad footed or something, but you know, I would have thought, I think she'd probably be a nice broodmare prospect. And I remember when Dampster was in the sale down here in the 2 year old sale, and I think Karen Dunn sold him, and I walked over by him, he was standing out, and you know, he knew I had Dr. Mount. He said, "There's one there you ought to have," and he was a big, beautiful colt, curling kind of a look. You know, he looks like he wants to run a little bit farther than this, than maybe Dr. Mount does on his best race, but he was sure a nice-looking two-year-old in that sale there. Of course, he brought $1 million, so he should have been a nice-looking one, but I know when I just kind of glanced at him and stuff, I said, "Well, I wish I had somebody buy him, because he looks like he's really nice." But obviously, he got in good hands with Baffert, and he'll get the best out of him as anybody could.
Well, you know, you're pretty much responsible for everything that's going on here, because of course
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that, and that spells a little bit of grass, and so. You know, as I said, you know, we're happy to have him, and he's got a good pedigree, and you know, maybe we can win a couple more of these somewhere along the line, somewhere, you know, maybe out of the country or something. Want him for take a shot on the stallion. Excuse me, but
you would think so.
Yeah, you would think. And when they come look at him, they're going to love him because he is a big, nice looking colt.
What's he like?
He's bay where Dancer's chestnut, but.
What's he like to be? Well, the chestnut coming from that—that's a curling. That's curling's
curling.
Touch, right?
Yeah, yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Oh, he's nice to be around. You know, he does pretty much. I mean, he, you know, he's a 6 year old colt now, so he can be a little bit aggressive. But you know, he's a fun kind of horse. He's up at Payson Park where I can work him on the turf, and his feet aren't the best, so that seems to sort of help him along the line a little bit too. You know, we kind of go in between glue on shoes and shoes with nails. He does have shoes with nails right now, but he likes it up there. And you know, like I say, he's no problem to train whatsoever. You know, you know, take him up there and breeze him on the turf. You know, I think from time two times since he ran the last time up to here. And you know, he seems to thrive up there. And, you know, he's a training center horse because he's done good at Fair Hill, too. Or maybe he doesn't like me training him every day. Who knows?
Well, and I've had a lot of fun following him and kind of latched on to him as you were, you know, you were kind of spoon feeding him a little tougher and tougher competition. And I suppose it's going to be irresistible to try a grade one turf mile here somewhere, right?
Makers 46. You know, we'll see what happens as the year goes on, and go from there. I've got the horses for the fences too, breaking the rules that I'm high on, and you know, we'll try to keep those two separated and go from there. I mean, you know, I'm kind of wanting to get breaking the rules stretched out somewhere along the line, but you know, so luckily we got maybe two nice grass horses that can run in some of the better stakes as the year goes on.
Well, and there'll be some others that'll be sure to emerge. Let's touch on a couple of other things, and just even since the beginning of the year, I don't have to go back that far. Let's go back to last weekend, and you know, I saw your comments that Mike Welch, you know, spent some time off of Dr. Mounty's win, and he talked to you about an update for Code of Honor, and you were simultaneously a little disappointed, but at the same time not completely surprised, and you still seem very encouraged by where you're headed with him.
Well, I think so. I wasn't altogether surprised, Steve. I mean, you know, I was thinking he might run a little bit better than he did, but the race kind of came up a little bit complicated too. You know, but he I think the second quarter he ran into, you know, like a 22 quarter there, so that made him maybe going 21 and change. And it was only his third race, and it was only, you know, he hadn't run since the first part of October. You know, I think we missed a really good opportunity with him at the Breeders' Cup, and nothing against the winner by any means, but he was really on top of his game when I took him there, and then he got sick. But his work's going up to that. And, you know, the work before, two works back before he ran, he worked good, but he didn't gallop out exactly as strong as I would have liked to him. So that's why I sent Johnny up there to work him the Saturday before he ran, and he went good, and he galloped out good, and so that's why I decided to go on running. But I think just sort of the way the race came up, you know, and especially the track had been sort of tiring all week, that probably I hadn't gotten enough into him, and you know, almost kind of step up his program a little bit. I'm still going to point him for the Fountain of Youth of all being right. I would like to see him mature bodily a little bit more and physically. He is a late May foal. But, you know, one of the good things with him, this is not what I'm hoping by any means, but with Mr. Parrish, if we're not on the right track, there's no pressure to do anything but the right thing by the horse. In fact, he told me before the race last Saturday, he said, you know, hypothetically, if we have to, he doesn't have to run again until next fall. You know, I mean, but he, you know, as we all know, he's been in the business for a long time and got a great understanding for it, and has raced a lot of horses and a lot of very good ones. So, you know, there's no pressure whatsoever to make the Derby or even the Fountain of Youth. But I'm sure hoping that we make the Fountain of Youth. I'm sure hoping we make the Derby on the right trail. But you know, I think I'm going to have to go to train him a little bit harder, and hopefully he takes it, and, you know, hopefully maybe he thrives on it. So we'll just have to see.
Now, looking forward to getting him back, and the Fountain of Youth, certainly plenty of time. There's plenty of points to accrue, and, you know, you'll know. I think everybody will know, based on, you know, what you do with them, where you stand. It's easy to interpret, Chug. You're an open book on that. If you think they've got a chance, they'll be there. If you don't, they won't.
No, that's true. And, you know, I mean, talking to Johnny more than once after the race, you know, all he does is just tell me, Chug, he's a lot better than that. So, but like you say, you know, we'd love to get there if we thought we had a big chance, but we're not going to do anything to sacrifice him if, you know, we don't think we got a big chance.
Well, speaking of classic horses and relations, that you're making me think of asking for an update on Personal Time. Who is going to break his maiden? He feels like he's one of these horses. This is Orb's brother. Just kind of needs the right situation, but some thoughts out of the most recent try.
A little disappointed in his try, but, you know, 7/8 was backing up, and I don't think that's what he wants by any means. You know, we tried the horse that was the winner of Mott's, and, you know, he was in front the whole way, and we tried him, and, you know, we were just second best. But, you know, I'm very anxious to run him around two turns, but two turns dirt, as we all know right now, is not the easiest thing to get to go, and it wasn't even close down here, so I had to just sort of sacrifice a little bit. And, you know, there's a race back in first part of February going 1/16, which would be two turns down here, which I think would be a pretty good indicator. In fact, he just worked at Payson this morning. And but he's a nice-looking horse. He's always acted like he had some potential. I thought his second, the one race where he was second here last year, was a very, very good race. I can't remember who beat him, but I know the horse of Mott's, Judd Mott's, beat him the next time. I didn't think we ran our race at a Hofburg. And so we gave him some time, and I think he'll be fine. And I mean, I hate to say this, but, you know, we're going to also have to find out about him on the grass, too. So we're in the right spot up there with him to find out. And there's a possibility maybe this weekend I'll try to work him and pace it on the grass and just see what he does.
Well, and on that topic, we'll stay with the family, with the Phipps family here, and let's ask about breaking the rules, who you mentioned. And this was a horse that you were very patient with, and you kept feeding him a steady diet of allowances, and then, you know, you got the clearly the, you know, the indication that you were on the right track. He wins that Tropical Park Derby, and he did it stylishly too, Shug. And what's ahead for him as a four-year-old?
Well, like I say, I was very pleased with his race in the Tropical Park Derby. I wanted to run him in a stake at Aqueduct, and they took it off the turf at the end in November, and I was just a little bit afraid to run him over that dirt track there. So I knew the trial, this one was here, so we went there. Well, I'm going to wait and see, Steve. You know, we got the Canadian here the first part of March, and we've got the Appleton, which is Florida Derby Day. And I just got to kind of figure out whether I want to run him. If he's doing really good, run him in the Canadian. And if he runs good, maybe try him in the Maker's Mark Mile or wait till the Appleton and then, you know, I love that race at Louisville, the mile and eighth race early times. It used to be, I don't know what it is now, but they've stepped it up to $1 million. So that's gonna open some eyes, you know. But I think he's got the potential to be, you know, a top flight type grass horse. And, you know, his three races on the turf have been good. He got beat at Saratoga, but that's when the horse got loose and we were about six wide. I was sort of, you know, worried about the other horse, rightfully so. And then he came back, and I thought his race at Belmont was really good, and then I thought this race was even better. And I ran, I worked him up there on Saturday. I thought he worked awfully well, and, you know, I just think he you know, obviously he's got the pedigree about being by Warfront out of protesting, and I think that, you know, the future's in front of him.
Well, we'll look forward to breaking the rules coming back, and could also, as we talked about, in coordination with Dr. Mounty, clearly, and actually we've talked so much in recent years, Shug, about the success on the grass. I'll bring up one more. How about that Sam Baser, the first out winner? Yeah, to be delighted with that effort, the first Samurai gelding.
I was. He balls a couple of friends of mine that I met one guy, Coleman Connell, down here playing golf, and his partner and their commodities brokers in Memphis. Two young guys, you know, my 50s guys that are very enthusiastic, having fun. I bought the dam of Sam Backer for, as a 2-year-old, by Indian Charlie. She ran one time and was second, and then she got hurt. We bred her to First Samurai, and then she's in Fold of Twirling Candy right now. And this was a horse that just kind of, he was always big, and he was kind of on the fence of whether we should sell him as a 2-year-old or not, and he just sort of kind of started getting better and better. We yelled at him because he wasn't so big, and you know, he just kind of kept doing better and better, and I think he's the kind of horse who's got some ability. That was not a surprise the other day. You know, I've worked him at pace a couple times on the dirt and out of the gate, this and the bat, and he'd worked good. I'd worked him on the turf up there, and he seemed to handle that fine, too. So I like him, and I think he's going to be even better when, you know, Jose said he was still a little green, and he said he thought he'd even be better when once he, you know, we could run him where he had a target and go from there. So, you know, I think, then again, if he is a nice horse with my buddies, we're going to have a good time with him.
Well, finally, Shug, and obviously I can bring up horses left and right with you, but I do want to ask about what's coming up this week at Gulfstream, and Friday's card was drawn, and you've got a couple of allowance opportunities, Best in the Business in that seventh, and Romantic Moment in the eighth. Catch us up on these two.
Best in the Business is not in the right spot, Steve. That race was going a mile, it didn't go, and came back 7/8, didn't go. So it was 7/8 is an extra, 3/4 in the book. But if I was going to run her, I needed to run her. She's made great strides since she ran and won at Aqueduct. She's worked really well down here over this track. And, really, there is a lot of speed in the race. I'm glad we got sort of the outside because I'm not sure she likes the dirt hitting her in the face. And so we'll see. I mean, Andrew's a longtime friend of mine, and, there'd be nothing I'd like better than to have a little luck for him. He does have, that filly Pink Sands that ran one down here, too, and I do think she's got a future in front of her. And then with Romantic Moment, she's just always sort of been a little bit of a project. I ran her at Louisville on Stephen Foster Day, and she ran terrible and fast pace up front. Gave her some time. I thought her two races on the grass at Belmont were both pretty darn good races. I ran her off the turf, and that didn't work either in the Forever Together at Aqueduct. But as you know, we were all sort of stuck to a fence up there during the month of November.
Yep.
With the weather, with the cold, and with the rain, and with the tracks freezing and the turf freezing and everything. But she's come down here. She worked at pace a little bit this morning, just an easy half and 51. And, I think she's doing pretty well. So I'm looking forward to kind of getting her started again on her four-year-old year and go from there. That's one Stuart bought. And, so we'll see what happens. But I think she should run a credible race.
And Shug, I do want to ask you about another three-year-old we have kind of lost track of that was certainly bred to be a nice one, and that was that Felix the Fox, the Tappet colt out of Wine Princess.
But then, his races were good, and then I thought his race at Aqueduct was just fair, and but the track was sort of funny, and I think Laswell's day speed was holding really well. And so I just elected he'd run four times to give him some time off. So I gave him a little bit of time off at Payson. He's back training now. He's been galloping about 2 weeks now after walking tack for a week and then jogging for a week. And then he's been galloping. So he's not far from being off a breeze. And I'd say he's Tappet, so it probably won't take but three or four breezes, and he'd be ready to go because they sort of prep themselves. And but I think he's a horse that's got a good chance.
Yeah, and certainly cut out. I mean that's a state course pedigree, and was bought for real money. And Shuggy, it great start to the year, obviously. And there's all the other state courses that we'll start to see come out as the winter unfolds. So best wishes for a terrific 2019. And you mentioned the golf course; you're doing a lot of business, obviously. How you hitting them though?
Well. I hit them good on the practice range, and when I get on the course, it's pretty pathetic. But this is the one time a year I do get to play down here quite a bit, and the weather's been good, so I do enjoy it, and I enjoy kind of getting out there with some of my friends, and or even with Allison and playing, and both my sons play, and one of them's down here with me, so we play every now and then, and the other one's Keeneland, but he's coming for the Pegasus, so I'm sure we'll find a day to play, and so it makes it fun.
Well, and Allison, you getting strokes or are you giving strokes to Allison?
Well, I'm not giving any yet, but she's not too bad. She didn't play much this fall, so she's having a little trouble getting back going. But we played a few holes yesterday afternoon, and I thought she was hitting a lot better. And she's playing today, and I think she plays tomorrow morning. So the more she plays, the better. The more she'll get it tuned down. The one thing she can do, especially off the ladies' tees, she can hit it pretty far. So she gets it out there to where she's got a chance. So, but she enjoys playing, and that makes it even more enjoyable. And she gets to spend time out there doing it too, instead of just me lumbering around there. And if I don't have anything to do, or if she doesn't have anything to do, then we can kind of go do it together. I don't think when we play together, either one of us play our best. But like I say, at my age, who cares? You know, I read somewhere Bobby Jones said it. He said, "Just enjoy where you are." So that's what I try to remember.
I love it. We always enjoy a visit with Shug, and feel like this will be the first of a lot of conversations in 2019. Shug, thanks so much.
Thank you, Steve. I hope it is. I'm looking forward to the year, and we'll see what happens.
Shug McGahee, everybody, and you can follow Shug on Shug's got Twitter. He tweets here and there. Claude McGahee, right on your Twitter machine, and it feels like a big year ahead. We're going to take a timeout here at top of the hour. We're going to talk to Steve Shanahan, who's on his way, sadly, to his partner Harvey Clark's funeral in Paramus, New Jersey. And Steve will talk about the kind of person Harvey Clark was. And he's the kind of person, really, that all of us could aspire to be. And I saw some the quotes, the gushing toward Harvey says it all. Steve Shanahan joins us next. John White ahead. Don Schnell, who won the La Kenyatta and may have a grade one circled for his mare, escape clause. Nick Tamaro later, and Todd Pletcher as well. Stay with us at the races.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get 5 full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for 5 of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.